Welcome to the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast.
You know what makes it so official, right?
Me! It's not like we have a real winner hosting or anything.
Bye.
I'm kidding. We have you. We have the Queen of the North, Priyanka. And speaking of winners, I hear we have a new one. Let's talk about the relevant queen of RuPaul's Drag Race UK.
Okay, so we're gonna dive in. I know it's been a while, and
it's been a long minute,
and I have to say something, and I hate to say it, I missed you.
I missed you too, baby. You don't have to hate saying that. You were on my podcast. We broke it down. We got real. So
we got the real.
Yeah. So you fuck with me, you stuck with me. You're my sister. But we have another drag sister on the podcast today that we're very excited about having guest on the show. Will you please do the honors and welcome this queen to our fine program?
Yes. From season one of RuPaul's Drag Race UK, the one, the only, Crystal.
Oh, hello.
The hairy chest. Is your chest still hairy today?
Is the water cool? Is the water refreshing? Oh. Of course, the chest is hairy.
Yeah,
of course. I'm your favorite hairy lady.
That was a real turn on. I thought it was very sexy. Well, I grew up in San Francisco, you know, in the 70s and 80s. So it was the time of the bearded queen. There were a lot of a lot of full on drag queens with hairy chests and full beards. But
it's like that in East London too. It's like hair everywhere. Hair you didn't know it could grow.
Wow.
I love that. There's a Toronto performer named Beardra Bidness, and she has...
Oh, I know Beardra.
Yeah, you know Beardra. Just the most gorgeous paint in this beard, and she doesn't wear tights, and her balls are hanging out. I love it.
I think it's so funny that I've been dubbed the hairy queen, because I'm like the least hairy drag queen that I know.
You're like politely hairy. Just like a little polite hair.
Crystal, do you live in the UK?
I sure do. I'm in London.
Oh, how's it like watching the season after you? How has that been?
It's been so exciting, and I'm full of a jealous rage.
Well, let's get to it. It was a season finale, Pri.
I love a finale.
Me too.
I love a finale. In the final four, we had Ellie Diamond, Lawrence Chaney, Bimini, and Taste, which is a strong top four.
Uh-huh.
I think one of those people could have been replaced, but...
All right, without being shady and without, like, you know, we don't want to encourage any more online hate to the girls, because that is everybody's being plagued online, and we have to, like, speak out against it every week.
Listen. Meanwhile, I'm here bullying everybody. Listen, I'm not saying that, you know, you need to go bullying anybody.
Yeah,
I'm
but you saying, are the official troll of the RuPaul's Drag Race podcast.
I'm a troll.
Yeah,
you're the troll under the bridge. I'm just saying, we all have an opinion.
Okay.
No, she's just saying she's being paid to give her opinion.
All right.
And who on Twitter can say that?
Having said that, I was surprised that Ellie was in the top four.
Okay, you weren't supposed to say who, Alec. We weren't supposed to say who.
Oh, wait, we're going to say who.
No, we're not. Oh. Can you bleep that out, producer man? Whoever Alec just said, bleep it out.
No, this is my opinion. I love Ellie. I think she's a great queen. I think that she's really good with her beat is really good. I could have had a little more variety in her looks, but I really thought that Ahura was going to be in the top four.
You know, people feel the same way about me in the top three of Canada's Drag Race. They say that I was too young, 2 years of drag, I shouldn't have been there.
Mm.
What was I thinking? Mm. Why am I so sexy? When I make out with her? Just all these questions. Okay, so...
I get the same. Everyone's always so mad that I won UK season one, and they just don't understand how it happened.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Crystal, because you're here, I really want to pick your brain about this finale. So, like, what was your standouts of watching this episode? Did you even watch, or were you too jealous? Because I am not watching Canada's Drag Race season two.
No, I did watch it. I am good friends with Bimini and with Taste, so I was just
wonderful.
So happy to see them. Yeah, I was so happy to see them doing well. And it's been, like, such a treat just watching the ascent of Bimini Bamboulash over the last few weeks. It's, like,
it's
iconic. It's incredible. It is meteoric.
It's, like, book deals and modeling contracts and music. And
yes, she is.
Like, for sure is going to announce, like, a
three-picture deal.
Three-picture deal, and James Cameron's going to be directing it.
Toys.
And, a Barbie, like, all of it, which is amazing because, like... You know, I think the world eats up what they need, and I love that we have a Bimini Bamboo Lash to just giggle and gossip over. I'm living for it.
I have something to add to this, because I've been reading a lot of comments online. Nor I don't read comments about myself, but everybody else. I'm eating it up with a spoon. People are saying that there's a curse of going into the final. If you've won four challenges, it does not guarantee that you're going to win. And then they showed other queens from other seasons who won four challenges who did not win. Specifically, I'm remembering Shay Coulee. And someone else. It escapes me because I'm ancient.
Someone in All Stars, maybe.
Yeah.
Shangela?
Or Manila?
Maybe.
Gigi Good.
Oh, Gigi Good.
I came into this one thinking that because of the consistent wins, that it was that she had it in the bag, that Bimini was going to win.
I don't think that the number doesn't matter.
Really?
It doesn't matter. I don't think so, because the RuPaul's Drag Race is not set up to be a points game. It's just impact. It's like,
all right,
who overall is just the most iconic?
You don't think you build up any equity during the race?
It does. But normally you don't have to pay attention so much to the number of wins, because you don't have this like visual representation of like, I have four badges. Normally it's like, it all gets a little bit confusing money. By the end, I find. It's just like, someone's done well and someone else has done less well, and then they can edit it a bit. You don't have actually someone out there on the finale stage with like, I've got one badge in each ear lapel.
We've discussed those badges a lot on this show, both the pluses and the minuses of those badges. Priyanka, how many challenges had you won going into the final of season of Canada?
I won two challenges, mm-hmm. and I was in the bottom twice.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm the first ever winner to have lip sync twice.
So, if I went into the final...
Bad people can win, too.
There you go, and they should.
I think that's what the fans always tag me in. I haven't done any fact-checking, so I don't know.
That's crazy to me. So no one has won if they've lip synced twice or more except you.
I think so. That's what I'm like nervous.
Well,
when you're an icon, you're an icon. What can I say? Okay, so also I want to talk about something here. So we talked a lot about Bimini. And so how do you feel about Lawrence Chaney winning, Crystal?
I feel great about it. Like, Bimini's my girl. So I was rooting for her. Like, I was there at her first drag show.
No way. Like, what was that like? Oh my God, you have to walk us through the first ever show.
So we were both in a competition at our local bar, The Glory.
The Glory.
I've been doing drag for like 6 months. She'd been doing it for one night. She beat me. And she was doing like a Melania Trump strip routine. It was very of the time.
Now, can you tell us, can you enlighten us a little bit about what the British audiences are like at a drag show? I know what they're like in LA. The crowds are really there for a party.
Oh, no. British people are so up themselves. They're just going to stand there with their arms crossed and wait for you to impress them.
Really?
And then when you impress them, they are like, they'll go nuts, but like, they're not going to give you anything.
You got to earn
you
it.
Give them something. Yeah.
And is it like that in Canada, Pri?
Okay, well, it's a little bit different. They tip in Canada. They don't tip in the UK, do they?
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah, so
sometimes they throw pound coins at your head, but it's not actually a good thing.
Oh, wow. Why don't they tip? How do the girls make money?
I think that's called a hate crime, Crystal.
Yeah, it's hurting people.
So in Canada, our drag shows are like, we'll go on stage and do four back-to-back-to-back-to-back songs.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do 2 4-minute songs, talk in the middle. You're having a good time. Like, your lash is sweating off. Like, your wig is crusted.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I got two more in me. Let's hit it. And it's all, you party with the
audience.
That's
evil.
It's evil. It is very evil.
At Morgan McMichael's show out in Palm Springs at Toucans, which is so much fun if you ever get a chance to see it. It's like half of it is Rue Girls, half of it is local. And they'll cycle through. Each queen will do 3 numbers, but not consecutively. They will do a number.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. Delta Work will come out. Morgan will do out. And they'll return to the beginning of the cycle all over again. But it's a really fun party. It's so much fun.
And then you can give a new look in between.
Exactly.
And the audience doesn't get sick of you. They're excited to see what you're going to do next. For back to back, it's like, how are you going to keep that interest?
Anyways, well, back on track. What did you think of the little bit of love performance? Anybody? Any favorites?
You know what, this is one of the most fun parts about the season finale. I know there's going to be a big number. So you kind of see the growth of everybody because they've been put through the machine. So, you know, the expectations are pretty high. I enjoyed it. It wasn't my favorite, but I always like seeing the queen's journey by the very end. And I think what the show does is it forces you to have more polish than you did at the beginning. You kind of see who's listened to the judges and who hasn't. The season finale number, my problem was I felt they were hindered by those batons. They had these white batons that were like canes at the beginning. Is it supposed to be a cane? Is it supposed to be a pool noodle? I didn't know what it was there for. And none of the queens seemed comfortable with it. They all seemed like, what am I doing with this? It seemed like a piece of choreography that was imposed upon them.
You know what? What? I thought it was amazing. And as somebody who is trying to be more positive in my life,
oh, brother.
I thought it was amazing.
I don't believe a word.
Oh, brother. No, I enjoyed it. You know, that finale performance, the UK, and they've done this twice, is their girl group challenges is always goes more viral. We had Breakup Bye Bye, Crystal. You know very well, and then we have UK Hun. So it, and then like the, by the time the finale rolls around, we just want an encore performance of the viral. You know, so it's a little bit tough. Whereas like on my season, like us doing You Wear It Well at the end was our big number that felt big. Whereas UK has two, so I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just think that we like to compare. And speaking of comparisons, it was nice to see everybody back for the finale to show off their finale, you know, and that's when you could come back and really just give RuPaul the middle finger like he gave Utica the middle finger and just really show
we'll get to
what
that
you
after
lost.
The break.
Just show what you missed out on. Oh, you sent me home, hun?
Mm-hmm.
Look what you did.
Yeah. You want to talk about the final looks that everybody had?
Okay, yeah, let's dive into the music finale, the fashion. Crystal, do you like the runways on Drag Race, or are you more of a challenge girl?
Oh, I'm all about the runways. That's the only reason I watch
it. Oh, yeah, me too. I love the runways.
I'm starting to have more of an appreciation for the runways. So let's run through the top fours. Starting with Ellie Diamond, Marie Antoinette, what do you think?
Inspired by Glinda the Good. Here's the thing. I do enjoy Ellie Diamond. I enjoy her hair. I enjoy her face. I love that she's all about kind of creating the illusion of being smaller, and she's a linebacker. She's a very big girl. So I don't mind the big poofy silhouette. It just didn't seem like fashion to me. I mean, if she said that her inspiration was Glinda the Good, then go full on Glinda the Good tulle. This seemed kind of drapey to me. I do love the jewelry and the wig and her beat. I wasn't that crazy about the dress as a final look dress.
Wow. That's not very nice, Alec. Crystal, what'd you think?
Listen, it's an honest opinion. Thought... I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not
I'm
saying
kidding.
She's not talented.
Alec,
stop projecting.
I know exactly what
you
mean.
Stop projecting, Priyanka. Stop projecting your own internal self-loathing onto me.
That's my first name, projecting Priyanka. That's what I project my
feelings. So, opinions.
I thought that there were some fabrication issues with the dress, but I did appreciate that there was kind of a through line with her, and like her obsession with Wizard of Oz kind of culminated in this Glinda the Good Witch finale look. I think it was like a nice journey for her on the show. Mm-hmm. My only complaint with that look was that the hoop skirt didn't go all the way to the ground, so it had a shelf.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, it kind of went out at the hip and then shelved off, which she has done once more in another skirt. And, you know, that just comes with time. I think she's an incredibly talented person. And I think this was a really good finale look, actually. It's just, it just does feel a little bit like something we've seen a bit from her before. But from anyone else, you'd be like, she's consistent. That's great. So,
but I will say, there's nothing like putting on a dress. And just no matter what the dress looks like, you just feel like you're the only girl in the world. And you know she was walking down that runway like, bitch.
Wow.
I'm in a dress.
The meta experience about that. Let's talk about that with you two because you are season queens and you have done that. What is the feeling when you turn in that runway? Is you take a breath beforehand in order to kind of like believe in yourself? What's that like? Walk us through that.
Stressful, anxiety, disgusting. How dare you even ask such a question? It's a sensitive topic, and I was told this question would never be asked to me. It's awful. Well, it's awful and it's amazing. Like, there are times where you're just standing there waiting for the floor director to cue you. Mm-hmm. To like, okay, it's your turn. And you just saw the next, you saw the girl before you come off. So she either feels like she did a really good job or she feels like she fucked it up and you could see it in her face.
Right.
Like, oh God, the judges are being mean this week. Mm. It kind of fucks with you. And then you peer out in that corner and just hope you land in the center. Mm. and then you just keep walking. And like when I did, like I'm much better at modeling clothing now, but when I did my season, I was shit at modeling. Like some of my runways are a little,
what was wrong with them?
A little
crunchy.
I would say they were a little crunchy. They were just,
oh my God,
just,
she said it.
She finally said what we're all thinking.
Was it a matter of walk? Was it your walk? Was it where you were focusing? What was wrong with it?
I didn't realize that the runways were more of a performance, like not a Naomi Campbell walk. Like I was trying to feel like I was like this model and I was like, ooh.
Right.
But the runways that, like the weeks that I won were the weeks that I walked and I was just fully myself and not giving a flying fuck.
Right. Right. I love a runway story when somebody has a story that they bring out and it's clear and it has a beginning, middle, and end. And you see a lot of the queens have that strength. Now, for you, Crystal, on your season, what were your feelings about your runway looking back on your season?
It was my favorite part of the show for sure, because it just felt like where I could really show off my creativity and stuff. But I was exactly the same as you, Bria. Like, I didn't realize how much it was about selling a character as well. And so, like, Bag of Chips would be there wearing the worst outfit I've ever seen in my entire life.
She
and she would come off
act.
And she would be safe. I know. And I, because you don't see the person on the runway, like, you don't see what they did, you're just like, what is going, what witchcraft does she possess? How is she, how is she getting away with this? And then you watch this season, you're like, oh, she's really, really funny. Like,
Of course, she gave a whole, she gave like a whole performance. She gave a whole story for each and every look. And I think that's like, as people watch the seasons consecutively, it's just going to make it harder and harder for each girl to come out. Next queen we have up next, Bimini Bon Boulash, who I'm fangirling over. I love her and I want to meet her. Like, I want to throw her a dinner party when she comes to LA. What'd you think?
Oh, I agree with that. I love a girl in a wedding dress. Crystal, how are your what are your feels on wedding dresses on the runway?
Yes, 100%.
Right?
Yes, and especially a slutty bride.
Yeah, like bend me over. Like, let's not wait for the honeymoon,
like,
baby.
Like, she has no business to be wearing white kind of bride.
It's like porn bride. It's like,
we're not
bride.
Even gonna wait till we leave the church. We're just gonna do it in the church, baby.
She had
in the confession booth.
She had half a dress. She had white stockings rolled all the way up, so you could see kind of the hem at the top. So it looked like lingerie. She had a big poofy shoulder and a really tight bodice. She had gloves and her hair was kind of choppy. It was very fashion.
Yeah, her hair was super cool.
And as somebody who has worn a wedding dress in my life and wants to wear one at my wedding one day, I relate. Next up, we have Lawrence Chaney. Crystal, what are your thoughts on this look?
I love Lawrence Chaney, but I absolutely hated this look.
So okay, sorry. Crystal, I feel the same way, actually. It is not finale extravaganza, but she does, I think it's how you sell it, and she sold the fuck out of this piece of purple fabric.
Definitely. She looked gorgeous. It's just when you've got everyone else there like feeling really elegant, this felt very
Primark.
Simple? Yeah, not even Primark, because it looked custom. It was just like, it didn't look like the kind of thing you wear to an event, and this is what it should feel like.
Right.
It should
the
feel
finale
really
look
grand.
Seemed to be about like almost like you're bringing up your pageant look. Or your version of a pageant look to the runway, meaning the finale is about glamour, et cetera, and so forth. This seemed like a mid-season challenge dress to me rather than a finale dress. Having said that, what I do love about Lawrence Chaney is the politicization of the body. Do you know that she's a big girl? She wants you to see that she's a big girl. She wants you to see that she has body confidence. And I love the shape. And she did this throughout the season. What I do love about Lawrence Chaney is, like what you mentioned, Crystal, earlier about Bag of Chips, is she's a wonderful entertainer. She's a performer. It really doesn't matter what she's wearing. She brings to the runway a full-blooded performance.
100%.
100. Okay, so what, Loa, what did we think of Tace's runway look? We got ostrich. We have a nude-ish illusion.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a Bob Mackie moment, kind of Cher, like something from the old Cher show with this boa. She had a full body stocking that was glittered. Is it something we've seen before? Yes. Is it all that original? No. But again, she sold it. She is kind of the one supermodel contestant in the finale, and she did bring her brand with her out onto the runway. So in that respect, even though it wasn't the most original look, she had a consistent through line and storyline throughout the entire season.
Right.
There's something really nice that she, her promo look was basically the white version of that, and she wore the black version for the finale. So there's like a nice bookend to that. Unfortunately, it does also mean that like, when the finale comes around, you kind of feel like you've already seen it. But she looked absolutely stunning. And it's like a gorgeous look. It's just, we've seen it twice.
Okay, let's talk Drag Race stuff. So when you guys are collecting your looks to bring to the show, do you have a dry run of a runway in your head? Do you hold up the things, go, that's too much alike? I have to keep them guessing. I have to do something completely different. How do you choose your looks for the show?
that's the sound. Like that's the
is
answer.
It? Because that must be agony. How do you not bring everything you own?
Because you want to make everything new.
Yeah, and you've got a weight limit, so you've got to be really careful. You've got to be really precise, and you don't have enough time. Like in a perfect world, you'd have enough time to like hold everything up next to each other and be like, "Oh yeah, I'm getting a bit repetitive there," or like this could use a tweak. But like you don't have time. You like. Next thing, next thing, next thing. Dance training, comedy, singing lessons, blah, blah, blah. I've got 2 weeks. I've got...
Right.
You know. So there's... You're just lucky that you've arrived and there's some clothes in about, really.
So when you arrive, totally Crystal, agree. On your first day, how do you feel looking at the other girls? Do you have... Was your feeling like, I have all the right things or I didn't bring enough?
I felt really good, actually.
Good.
Like... The looks were something that I felt really strong about. I've got a background in costume design, so it was the place that I could really, like, apply myself.
I remember, because I watched the first season recently. I remember you talking about that. Now, Priyanka, same question for you. You arrive on the first day. You've got your trunk full of goodies. How confident do you feel about the things you've brought?
I felt very confident. The night before I left, I spent an entire day fixing everything because all of a sudden I dropped a bunch of weight and then nothing fit anymore. And oopsies. And I also, hey, this is a little trick for future Drag Race contestants. When you arrive in the workroom, do not pull out any of your runways. Hang up your little bodysuits and everyone thinks you're going to have bad runways. And don't pull it out until you have to. I loved it every time. Like when I pulled out my finale gown, Rita and Bobo looked at me like, oh, fuck.
Oh, was that shit. a deliberate bait and switch for you on your part?
Yeah, my drag mom told me to do it. She's a pageant girl, so she loves the pageant games.
So wouldn't it be funny if you just hung up a bunch of hospital gowns and scrubs and like a potato sack, like stuffing that had absolutely nothing to do with the looks that you were going to bring.
And also, I'll never forget Juicebox unpacked all of her looks and had to pack them right back up. I felt so bad.
Oh golly!
Well,
don't get too comfortable.
One of the best parts of doing this podcast is speaking to experienced queens. So, Crystal, we're so glad to have you on here today. Priyanka, as usual, you bring the voice of experience and expertise to this podcast. And when we come right back, we are going to talk about season 13 of Drag Race right here in the good old U.S. of A. We'll be right back.
Miss Quarantina Turner, got you feeling down? Never fear, divas, because the WOW Podcast Network is here! Coming this year are brand new episodes of your fave pods, such as mine, Girl Group Gossip, starring me, Cheryl Hole.
Hi, Cheryl. How's your hole?
Hole is worn out. How are you?
To the triumphant return of the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast.
Or as we like to call it,
she's already the hair her.
And not to mention bringing
tap dancing in. That was this close to being the name of this show.
And with brand new podcasts from RuPaul's Drag Race UK, Crystal, and season 12's Jackie Cox, the WOW Podcast Network will be the one-stop shop for all your drag-related podcast adventures. So for more deets, go to worldofwonder.com/podcast. Boost!
Hello and welcome back to the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast with myself, Priyanka, the winner of Canada's Drag Race, Alec Mappa, the icon legend, and also a very special guest all the way, down under, I need to get a map, all the way from the UK, Drag Race UK.
Across the pond.
Across the pond, little splish splash, I was taking a bath.
So we're on to season 13, episode 12. Boy, this is the longest season ever. I love it. It's just going to go on forever. It's like Lord of the Rings. It's just, there's going to have 12 different endings. On episode 11, which we're coming out of, the branding challenge, Tina Burner went home. Tina Burner was finally sent home. What were any thoughts?
It was her time.
Any thoughts on Tina Burner and her time on Drag Race?
I love her.
I thought she was great.
I love her. But...
yeah.
Everyone has their time.
She's funny.
Well, for me, I love her. I know a lot about her reputation as a live performer in New York City. Everybody says she turns the party. I got a little worried about the looks with the red and with the ketchup and mustard looks. It was kind of like, okay, you've established that in the first two episodes. After four episodes, we got to switch it up a bit. So I was a little concerned for her on her part, but the episode.
But I think she.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think she leaves with her legacy a bit. I think she leaves with her legacy intact as an entertainer, and like, I like that the show really recognized that, and there was it was referenced a lot of times that like you can go to New York, you can see Tina Burner, and you're gonna be a great show.
Yes, yes,
I love
that. I hope that is a legacy that she maintains because she deserves
it. Well, isn't that what you want? To kind of go, I've established my brand and now you'll come see me and now I'll get more bookings.
Speaking of bookings, the one thing that you also want to be named is a lip sync assassin because people will book you to lip sync and Utica is trying to brand herself a lip sync assassin. Everyone does not even care. Everyone's not giving it to her. But I know this feeling. I know this feeling. I'll never forget when I drove all night lip sync against Kiara. I walked back into that workroom to wipe that lipstick off the mirror, feeling like I was the only bitch in the world and that everyone was going to compliment me on what an amazing job I did. No one said a word. No one said nothing.
Was there a little bit of drag deja vu of her kind of spreading the chum in the waters and nobody rising to eat it up?
Yeah, and when she was saying it, I was like, girl, just don't say anything. Because I didn't say anything, and I'm happy I didn't, because it just makes you look like such an asshole.
I wonder about her ability to read the room. That's what this episode made me do, is like, oh, read the room.
I'm just going to say it. I don't think she bombed that hard.
Nope, she didn't.
The thing that made me cringe watching it was the silence, not the actual jokes. There were a couple that were like, not quite, but like, some of them were really good. They were weird, and they were her, and they had a point of view, and they were kooky, and I don't know. I enjoyed it.
This week's challenge was the Nice Girl Roast, where they took in all of the former Miss Congenialities. They had Nina West, Valentina, and Heidi in Closet. Now, I think that they were kind of misguided. There was a lot of nerves this week. Like, Simone seemed really nervous, and she seemed kind of off her game. And what people should have broken down for them is that a roast is a reading challenge. And I think these queens kind of got in their own heads and thought that it was something else. This is a reading challenge. You just have to come up. All you have to do is come up with reads. I'm not saying it's easy, but the challenge is to come up with reads for all of the judges and the contestants.
I just think that, like, when you do Drag Race, like, you could prepare as much as you want for all these things, but there's still something that when they present it to you, you're like, okay, all right. And you could tell anything to do with comedy, Simone is like, I don't want it.
But she's hilarious. I don't want to do it. I think she's a naturally hilarious person.
It's one thing to be funny, but it's another thing to have to try to make people laugh. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
I fail at that. Like, if someone's like, hey, Priyanka, like, go do stand-up, I'm like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, but you know how to, okay, this is where the disconnect happens for me and the queens. You're a live performer, and you just said you'll do two numbers, and you'll do some crowd work. Hi, what's going on? And that requires you reading the room and talking to the room. I've never seen a drag queen up there who wasn't able to make people laugh. Crystal, is being funny part of your live gig?
It never used to be, and it's something that I've like found a little bit since the show. But before I went on Drag Race, like, I was terrified of holding the mic. Like, I didn't want to do it.
Really?
I wanted to come on and do a sickening lip sync, do some stunts, do some aerial tricks, leave them gagged, right, and then walk off and leave them being like, who the hell was that bitch? But Drag Race is like, thrust the microphone into my hand, and it turns out I actually really enjoy doing it, but it was not something that came natural to me.
Right. And there is something about being in a live club and having that microphone in your hand. It is a license to kill. It's kind of like, okay, I can get away with murder up on this stage. So the challenge was for all the girls to come up with reads. Rose says Heidi tried to hit on her in New York City and jokes the only thing thirstier than Heidi are her makeup brushes. Oh.
Jesus.
Now about the order. They worked hard on the order because Candy and Rosé won the mini challenge. I was surprised that Candy put herself first, because anchoring a comedy show as an experienced stand-up comic, that's hard because you have to establish the energy in the room.
Mm. Yeah, I think I would rather start than go last, because you can kind of like pre-plan some jokes and then want to play off the people without them having an expectation of the person who went before you.
Right. So you would prefer last.
First.
I mean, I'm sorry. You would prefer first. Crystal, what would your placement be?
I do. I think I also understand Candy's logic that you know what the touch points are going to be for the jokes for all of those people. And like, maybe by the end, we're all going to be sick of like, Valentina, you're stunning, you're gorgeous. So maybe using like, soaking up the good content and going first is the right way to do it. I don't know. Risky, though.
Yeah, it is risky.
Risky business.
But you have to win. And that's the thing is, like, in the stand-up rule, if you have to win, it makes the job, you raise the level for everybody after you. And what Candy did was she came out so strong and so energetic and confident, like you were actually at a club and watching her perform, that she kind of set the bar high for everybody else.
I totally agree.
And
yeah,
she's just got so much natural charisma on stage. Like, she just seems...
She does.
She seems very at ease. You don't feel any nerves on her behalf, which is, like, that's half the battle.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah, and she's a New York girl. She knows how to work a room.
Yeah. Gottmik was terrific.
Yeah, I love that, like, basically, like, Gottmik and Simone started the episode being like, girl, we're scared. And then Simone kind of, you know, felt... It seems like the longer the season is going, the more we're seeing Simone battle herself in terms of, like, comedy challenges and just letting herself go. But because her runways are so strong, it's almost like, who cares? And then you have someone who got... Like, Gottmik, who also is a fashion queen, and... Gottmik, you know, starts being this like, oh, I didn't know I was funny, but I am funny, and I'm being funny, and I'm being celebrated for being funny. Like, that storyline there is, like, what you kind of see as a winner.
I'm certainly rooting for Gottmik in this season because he'll come out and say how intimidated he is by a challenge and will lean into it. You know, I'm not a comedy person. We'll lean into it. Will, I'm not this type of person. We'll lean into it and end up succeeding.
Yep.
And I that's really wonderful to see somebody's courage rewarded.
Yeah. I think Gottmik, it's like you say, exactly. Gottmik just throws themselves at everything. They're not, even though they're afraid, they're like, well, I'm just going to absolutely go for it and trust themselves. Whereas I think maybe Simone is a bit more of a control freak. And so when she gets nervous, she's going to go inwards a little bit more, which is absolutely what I would do in that scenario as well.
And getting in their head, I could see Gottmik during the Rusical challenge of like, I'm not a singer. And since I'm not going to sing, I'm going to back away from this. I'm going to hide. I mean, this inner saboteur thing is real. I mean, you kind of see it each season. Yeah. Do you feel, either one of you, that you had an inner saboteur that kind of would shut things down? And how did you handle it?
100%.
Yes. All the time. I still have one. We all have one. I honestly, I like have shot so many things and content and more content and photo shoots, and I won this show. And some days I'm like, I didn't do enough. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it. It's not happening. Mm-hmm. And I have to remind myself that you're doing enough. It's like a very interesting thing.
Yeah. And for you, Crystal, same question.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I pay my therapist £100 an hour to talk about my low self-esteem.
I understand there was an online controversy a little bit with Utica telling fat jokes. I think that I didn't have a problem with it. I think that that's part of reading and Drag Race. I think that it's, like you said, I think that any kind of read is you can tell when somebody's intention is to be funny, and you could tell when the intention is mean-spirited. I don't feel at all that Utica is a mean-spirited queen.
No way. There's no way. There's no way in hell. No, I think it's just like, sometimes your jokes land and sometimes they don't. And for something like a roast, you just think you have to be mean, but it's just being clever is what a roast is all about. And the person who was the most clever was Miss Candy Muse, because she pulled out the win. It's her first win. And everybody on stage was like so happy for her.
Yeah. Yeah. This seems to be a very supportive season. Like, the girls seem to genuinely like each other. And that's very nice to see. Simone ended up lip-syncing against Utica, and Utica finally went home.
Not finally! Not like, you finally, are just waiting.
No, I mean, I didn't mean it that way. Oh, gosh. That is like an example of intention versus impact. I meant finally in terms of the episode. To coin a phrase. Listen, every week we are on the show, Priyanka and I, Crystal, and we want to hear from the fans. And we've been asking them on Twitter to ask some questions of us. And if we read your question on the air, you're going to get a free prize from World of Wonder, some World of Wonder merch. And so I have a couple questions. Do you have any questions this week, Priyanka?
No, it's all you, baby.
Here's one for both of you. Okay, and this is from Julia from Team Etc. If we get your Julia, we need your address, and we'll send you your prize. If you guys had to create a girl group with four other Rue girls, who would you choose?
I'm gonna go real concept, and I'm gonna go for like an '80s like bad bitch motorcycle crew.
Okay. Who are you thinking?
We're gonna all be mullets and ripped fishnet, and it'll be I'm gonna forget someone. It'll be Chelsea Boy from Holland. We'll take Scarlet Bobo from Canada.
Yeah,
and Gottmik.
Oh, très international.
And we're gonna rule the streets.
Fabulous.
I love that.
I've already bought my ticket for that one. Priyanka, you?
I already have a mini girl group started with Jada Essence Hall and Shea Coulee and myself, Melanin's Dynasty. And I would add in, I'm trying to think of a good addition to this group. Someone with that good melanin skin. Taste.
Nice.
Mm.
That'd be good. The four
That'd
of us?
That'd be great.
Ooh.
Yeah. Alec, and then no one has to be the Michelle.
Exactly, because they made me the Michelle in that photo shoot.
I want to stand out on stage and be the tiniest girl on stage, so I would have all big girls surrounding me. I would have, like, you know, the real tall ones. I have, like, Bob the Drag Queen and Milk and somebody else. Like, maybe Ellie Diamond, and I would dance on the palm of one of their hands. one more question. Will you ever take a Welsh lesson from me and its taste? And that was from Lucy, Pris Jantasy. Now, you would hear that more than anybody, Crystal, the Welsh accent. How often do you hear that in London?
Actually, loads of my friends are Welsh. Like, my best friends are all Welsh. So I am always in Wales. And I'll give you my favorite Welsh word. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The Welsh word for microwave is poppity ping.
What?
Poppity ping. I love it. That is absolutely magical. Poppity ping.
It's magic.
Where can folks find you on your socials?
I am Crystal. We'll see you now on most of the platforms. And you can also check out my podcast, The Things That Made Me Queer, on the World of Wonder Podcast Network. Season 1 is out now, and season 2 is coming soon.
Well, I'm so glad you did the podcast with us today. You're cute as a fucking button. I can't wait to meet you. You're so gorgeous and talented, just like our Queen of the North, Priyanka. Where can people find you on your socials, my darling granddaughter?
You can find me at The Queen Priyanka on Instagram, The Queen Priyanka on Twitter, The Queen Priyanka on TikTok. Also, check out my brand new single with Miss Brooklyn Heights called Queen of the North. Available now everywhere you can stream music. And also check out my cover of Harry Styles' Watermelon Sugar High on my YouTube channel. I'm a singer, baby.
Follow you on your socials, and you literally make me want to take a nap. Like, I'm exhausted. Like, I'm
I love it.
Ruling the world. I have an ice pack on my lower back. That's what I'm doing. I'm lying down or unfolding laundry because that's the glamorous life I lead. You can find me at Alec Mappa on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and you can listen to my mental health podcast every week, Alec Mappa Hot Mess with Matthew Dempsey, psychotherapist. And we've become like the decompression zone for all of the drag race queens. So, Crystal, yep, we'll have you on the show, hopefully sometime soon, and talk about
therapy. I can tell you about my demons.
And mental health. Ooh. All of them. The Drag Race family, the Drag Race crew, it really is a wonderful family. Please treat all the queens online with kindness and respect. Remember, there's a human being on the other side of that keyboard. And tune in next week. Oh, and send us your questions to @Priyanka. Yes. Priyanka and me on the Twitter, and when you when we read your questions, you'll get a lovely prize in the mail. Isn't that fun?
That's so fun.
Tune in next week for more of the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, and we'll see you then. Bye.
This has been a World of Wonder production.